You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Happy Friday, everyone. It's Friday, Friday, Friday. You don't want to hear me sing.
No, especially not early in the morning.
No. But it's a beautiful day, and welcome to another awesome episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul.
And I'm Rob. And this is episode number 404. Thank you guys for joining us. We appreciate it, as always. Hope you're having a great morning. And
we assume it's morning because we're here really early.
Hope you are having a great morning, or you had a great morning.
Or you ate breakfast and it went well.
Paul's going to tell you now what he likes for breakfast.
No, I'm not. Two eggs over easy. Anyway, you know what, though? Guess what? There is not going to be breakfast at our 107 class in Newport Beach, California.
No, that's why we're starting at 9.
But if you are studying for the Part 107 exam, you're trying to get that test prep, the study guide, the material, you're trying to get dedicated time, whatever you're trying to do, it is really wrapped around studying. That's why you should go to the August 25th and 26th Part 107 study session
in
class.
Beautiful Newport Beach, California.
Yeah, come it'll on. Be really hard to be focused there. So, you know.
Well, yeah. So just really quick. No, it's not going to be hard. There's too much information that everybody's got to get through, and focus is going to be critical. But you know how much like an orange was, how much the hotel charges for, like, if we want to give everybody an orange?
How much?
It was like $4 an orange.
You're kidding me.
This is the Marriott. I have no problems. And they're all the same. It is insanity. I'm about...
Couldn't you just go down to the local store, like down the street?
Oh, yeah, and then you bring in your own oranges, and they'll probably shoot you in the leg.
I throw an orange at their gun. Okay? I doubt Marriott would do that anyway, and I have to say
shoot
that
you in the leg?
They are one of my clients, and they've treated me very well.
Oh, so. That's true. Sorry.
Thanks, Rob, though. Well, thanks for the client bashing.
Nonetheless... Well, what can I say?
Mandy, I'm so sorry.
All I can say is $4 oranges. You be the judge.
Oh, man, that's the way to start a podcast.
Sorry.
Good morning. I'm going to bash your client really quick, and then let's move on from there. All right.
Sorry, Mr. Marriott.
All right.
No, I'm actually sorry, Paul, but anyways.
It's okay. It's okay.
Hey, well, we're holding it at the Marriott, right? So
yeah.
We had other choices, so that speaks for something.
But make the oranges cheaper.
Yeah.
Well, I think
us bring our own oranges.
I think you got the point across.
I know. Now I'm beating a dead horse.
You know what, though? Today, we are finally going to end beating a dead horse. That's a good segue.
Yeah, but before you say that, droneulive.com, there's still time for you to register to get over there to Newport and join us.
I can't believe that's actually going to be the intro today. But enjoy, guys. I hope you like that. Anyway, since we are short on time, we should probably get right into this. But yes, if you're studying, go to class August 25th, 26th. If you can't attend... you can attend via the live stream. And to answer the question, can I download the live stream after I'm done in case I miss it? Yes, but the whole idea of the live stream is that you are dedicating time to studying. Because guess what, guys? If you don't actually take this seriously and you don't actually put the time in to study, you're not going to pass. It's very simple. So,
We need to clarify, when you say yes to that question, it is going to be available to members once it's in its edited form.
That is correct.
In the membership. So
that is correct.
Just want to make that clear.
Yeah. So let's just clarify it even more, Rob. Let's take it one level deeper. Okay. Let's beat this dead horse. If you pay for the live stream, you will be able to download it. Members, that live stream is being turned into a class for members. If you become a new member after the class, for whatever reason, you will not have a replay of that class. You will have the produced class video when it is done, right?
That is correct.
I just want to clarify that because sometimes you have to do that,
but only 30 for
or 40 times.
But it will be available for members once it's finished.
Once it's finished.
Correct.
All right. Well, because we love beating a dead horse, we are going to give you 40 questions and answers for the Part 107 exam. These did come from the FAA. These were the 41 sample questions. I just want to clarify, too, because a lot of people on Facebook have been asking. They've been saying, hey, are you going to have those quizzes and tests on your website soon? And the answer is yes. And the answer is also it will not include these sample questions. There are 300 questions that the FAA gave out. Again, I'm shocked that no one's found these, even after Unmanned Experts was dogging everyone on Facebook yesterday, which I thought was very funny. And they still don't have all the material. But we're not going to go there.
No.
We're not going to go there.
Let's be positive.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to help you out by going over 40 questions from the FAA. What do you think, Rob?
We better hit it.
Are you ready for me to test you?
Oh, my gosh.
Because guess what? I'm not ready for you to test me.
I am so not ready, but that's all right. What's ready got to do with it at this point?
All right. So just a heads up. A lot of these questions have little nice pictures with them. They're beautiful. They're gorgeous. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, one of the things that I want to mention here is that if you are listening, make sure to check out the YouTube podcast.
Yeah.
Make sure to check it out.
Some of these questions, frankly, they don't lend themselves as well to a podcast and this kind of discussion because they're pictures. And so the answer to the question is a little bit more detailed than just the audio.
True.
So we'll have to work.
You may
want to
check
that
out the YouTube page, and this will be available probably this weekend or Monday, whenever it comes out. And if I sound like I'm saying things that I shouldn't be saying, it could be because it's very early.
Yes, it is.
So anyway.
We're podcasting earlier than normal, which is good.
All right. So, again, make sure you check on YouTube. Refer to FAA CT 8082G figure 21. By the way, those figures are the actual test figures that they give you at the CAT Center when you take your FAA exam.
Cool.
What airport is located approximately 47 degrees and 40 minutes north and 101 degrees 26 minutes west longitude? And if you're looking at the picture, the potential answers are number one, Mercer County Regional Airport, number two, Semshenko Airport.
Semshenko
Airport.
Mm-hmm. That's what I see.
And then the last one is Garrison Airport. The answer of A, B, and C is C, is Garrison Airport. The reason, and by the way, I just want to say thanks to John Rupert, who provided this in his blog. The reason, ladder sounds a lot like latitude. So if you climb the ladder going north, keep in mind it is north only if you are in the northern hemisphere. For minutes, just think of them as tick marks. There's the box with 30 tick marks in it, a line, and then another 30 tick marks. Total, you get 60 for longitude, also called meridians. Think of the prime meridian running through Greenwich, England. Why is this useful? To figure out the coordinates of potential job sites that are in airspace, which requires a COA. I use coordinates all the time when I'm working with my clients to figure out if they need a COA or not. Can your attorney do that?
Nice, John.
Well done, John.
That's awesome.
Well done.
So, yeah, what this question does is say, you better start studying.
So, question number one, start studying. Question number two, continue studying.
No. Seriously.
What does the line of latitude at Area 4 mean?
What does it measure?
Well, answer...
Whew, wow, okay.
You know, one thing, though, he did really butcher the crap out of this thing.
How so? You mean the way that it falls with the A's and the C's?
Yeah, there's no A
here.
Yeah,
there's no A.
So
there's no A in any of them, if you've noticed that. But that's okay. We know which one is it.
It took me two to notice there was no A. And it took you two to notice there was no A for any of them. So the answers are, one, the degrees of latitude east and west of the prime meridian. B, the degrees of latitude north and south from the equator, like if you're climbing the ladder, or C, the degrees of latitude east and west of the line that passes through Greenwich, England. So the line we're looking at is running horizontal. So what does that mean, Rob?
Wow, well, the answer is B, the degrees of latitude north and south from the equator. So that's what the line of latitude at Area 4 measures.
Like you're climbing a ladder going up or down. Just remember which hemisphere you're in. 99% of you guys aren't going to be below the equator, so it'll be north most of the time. Anyway.
Cool.
Very good. Again, that was figure 26, 8082G. Okay, we're going to go to another figure here. Question number 3 from the FAA. Refer to FAA CT 8082G, figure 23, area 3. What is the floor of the Savannah Class Charlie airspace at the shelf area of the outer circle? Now, do you know where you can find this number, Rob?
Tell me.
Okay, there's a little maroon number, and there's a line below the number, and then there's a number below the line.
Okay.
You see that? And then there's three circled. And then the inner circle says 41 over SFC. Mm-hmm. 41 means 4100. SFC means surface.
Okay.
And then the outer circle, the base is at 1300 feet and the top is at 4100.
Wow. Okay.
So answer A, 1200 feet AGL. Just so you know, the answer would never be AGL. B, 1300 feet MSL. Or C, 1,700 feet MSL.
Why would it never be AGL? Explain that.
Because they're giving you... Ooh. I don't know if I can explain that. It would never be AGL.
That's okay.
His explanation got cut off.
We'll just go because it will never be AGL.
Yeah. Which it makes it difficult in high altitude areas. Like, for example, if you're in Breckenridge...
So what he says is that there's a lot that could be said here, but if you want to know more, study barometers and the different types of altitude.
Gotcha. Anyway, 1,300 feet, B is the answer. Why? Because we have to remember that the two zeros are chopped off of that number. SFC means surface. Why is this important? Because you might need to do a job under the Class C shelf. If you don't know this right off the top of your head, you're leaving money on the table. Remember that Class C operations require a COA or a COW, and you'll need to be able to say quickly, yes, we can do that job, or no, we'll have to file to get a COA. All right, number 4. Oh, my maps didn't print anymore.
Uh-oh.
That sucks.
That's going to be a problem.
Stupid printer.
A whole bunch of no maps.
Man.
Here's some maps.
All right. Thanks for sharing your laptop there, bud. All right, we don't have enough money for two here. I'm kidding. All right, refer to 8082G. This is question 4. So question 4, 8082G, figure 59, area 2. The chart shows a gray line with VR1667, VR1617, VR1638, and VR1668. Could this area present a hazard to operations of small aircraft?
Answer A, no.
Answer B, yes. This is a military training route from 1,500 feet AGL. Or C, yes, the defined route provides traffic separation to manned aircraft.
So in this particular case, the answer is?
Yes, this is a military training route from 1,500 feet AGL. It is extremely important to know that this so you can expect low-flying military helicopters flying this route, some of which may be at 400 feet or below. Here's what the AIM says. MTRs with no segments above 1,500 feet AGL must be identified by four number characteristics, IR1206, VR1207, and military training routes that include one or more segments above 1,500 feet AGL must be identified by three numbers characteristics, e.g. IR206 or VR207. What does this mean? They can always be flying in your airspace.
And so the point is you've got to be able to look at the map and read and understand what that just said.
Exactly, which essentially is there's military training routes and you're in the way.
Sweet. Cool. Number 5.
You know, it's really interesting, though, because I had another CFI answer this question and he said something different.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So...
He said same answer, different reasons or
no,
different answer?
No, he said answer C, yes, the defined route provides... traffic separation to manned aircraft.
The defined route provides traffic separation to manned aircraft. Huh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I guess military training routes don't have to abide by minimum safe altitudes. What is that? 14 CFR 10113 or something. I forget what it is. Anyway, I don't know why I would try to remember that because I clearly would get it wrong. Anyway, according to 14 CFR Part 107, the remote pilot in command of small unmanned aircraft planning to operate within Class C airspace, there's an A.
Hey, there it is.
Must use a visual observer. B, is required to file a flight plan. Or C, is required to receive ATC authorization.
Everybody should know that one.
Which one is it, Rob?
That one is C.
Is required to receive ATC authorization. Why? Yep.
Because that's what 107 says to do. What do you mean, why?
I just like reading John's responses because sometimes they're pretty entertaining. Oh. Because the FAATC wants to make sure you can fly in certain locations. Pro tip, look at the runway of Class C airport in figure 23. The runways are north, south, east, and west. If you're flying in the donut hole, then you better know where the landing and departing traffic will be flying. Keep in mind that for some airports, especially at coastal airports, almost rarely use their northerly or southerly runways because the wind is almost always blowing east or west. You might be able to get a COA for those north and south areas of the airport easier.
That's an interesting point.
See? Reading his little comments do have value.
I see why he said pro tip on that deal right there.
I'm gonna negate the last sentence, though.
So, I mean, yeah. It's subtle. It's kind of like...
Oh, it's very subconscious. You need me.
Exactly.
My name is John Robert.
It's awesome. Well done.
Yeah, no, it's smart. I think...
it's a lot of work you put into this.
I think people could learn a thing or two from John.
Yeah, a thing or two.
Maybe 1,000.
Anyways.
Or like how to replace your car cooling fan without spending lots of money. I learned that from John.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. You're just a Renaissance man right there.
All right. Refer to FAACT 8082G figure 21. You've been hired by a farmer to use your small UA. I hate how they say that. It doesn't matter, though. You've been hired by a farmer to use your small UA to inspect his crops. Merry Christmas. The area that you are to survey is in the Devil's Lake West MOA, east of Area 2. How would you find out if the MOA is active? Answer A, refer to the legend for special use airspace phone number.
Okay.
B, this information is available in the small UAS database. C, in the military operations directory. Or D, in your grandma's Depends.
Oh my goodness, he just had to go there.
Answer is clearly D. No, the answer is A. It's funny, though. He says, okay, this answer is wrong. You won't be getting any telephone numbers here. Okay, I think John may actually have this answer wrong.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's B. And here's why. He says this. The answer for B is this information is available in the small UAS database. And he says, what? I don't know what this means. What database? Well, they just changed the airport facilities directory. It is no longer the AFD.
Okay.
In fact, I'd have to Google what they actually changed it to. But I'm wondering, because I don't remember the name, I'm wondering if B is actually the new name for the AFD. Because I believe you would be able to find that in here. But anyway.
Interesting.
Let's say that John's right. Benefit of the doubt. Because he's a lawyer, after all.
And he's
a CFI, after all, too.
Yeah.
But it does definitely go to show the there's still some communication should be worked out between the FAA and CAPS.
Absolutely.
Anyway, he says the answer is A, but he says this answer is wrong. You won't be getting any telephone numbers here. You'll get VHF frequencies on the side of the map where the MOAs are listed. How do you find the MOAs on the side? This is annoying because most of you guys are using some type of digital map. This is how you find it in SkyVector. You make sure that the sectional chart at the top right is clicked, and then you move all the way over to the left, and you'll see a list of MOAs. This MOA is from 4000-17,999. For practice, let's pretend that it goes all the way to the ground. We need to figure out if it's active. The 135.25 frequency won't help because you'll almost never get a hold of anyone with your handheld. This is how to figure out if it is active or not. You can either, one, check to see if there is an active NOTAM at www.notams.fa.gov/DINS/query/web/. And then it has its own MOA tab, which you can then click to pilotweb.nas.fa.gov/pilotweb/. Click. I'm not going through all of
no,
that.
No, please. Can
Why did I keep
save
doing
me
that?
Now? Shoot me now.
All right, I will. Anyway, yeah.
All right, okay. So let's see.
All right, refer to FAACT 8080 2G, figure 20, area blank. How would a remote PIC check NOTAMs as noted in the caution box regarding unmarked balloon? A, by utilizing the Before You Fly mobile application.
B, that'd be nice.
By obtaining a briefing via online source such as 1-800-WX-BRIEF.
Huh?
Wait a minute.
That would be C.
What is going on with this? Okay, I can't read.
So B,
it's
would
me.
Be by contacting the FAA district office. So those are your options. By utilizing the Before You Fly mobile application, contact the FAA district office, that's B, or obtaining a briefing via an online source such as 1-800-WXBrief.com. Sounds like Fruit of the Loom. Anyways, that would be C.
1-800-WXBrief.com.
Right.
All right, number eight, to ensure that the unmanned aircraft...
Wait a minute, we didn't give the answer to seven.
Oh, I thought you just said it was C.
No, I didn't. But it is C.
It is C.
Moving along.
We will, let's just say that one more time. How would a remote PIC check NOTAMs as noted in the caution box regarding the unmarked balloon? The answer is C, by obtaining a briefing via an online source such as 1-800-WXBrief.com.
Awesome.
Number eight, to ensure that the unmanned aircraft center of gravity limits are not exceeded, follow the aircraft's loading instructions specified by A, the pilot operating handbook or UAS flight manual, B, aeronautical information manual, AIM, or the C, aircraft weight and balance handbook.
For a UAV?
Yeah.
There's an aircraft weight and balance handbook. There's not, probably.
No, there's not. But there is a weight and balance form normally on pre-flight checks when you're in powered parachutes, when you're in ultralights, when you're in
but not for your Phantom.
Cessnas. Nope.
Okay.
Your point is made there, Rob. Your point is made there.
Yeah, this is driving me nuts.
Well, welcome to hell.
I feel sorry for all you guys that have to take this.
The truth comes out.
Oh, man. I don't know if I'm going to make it through 40 of these.
I don't know if I am either.
I think what we're going to do is give everybody the website. And I think it actually is a great way to go through these 40 questions because of the background information that John provides. I really do.
Okay, let's just go through a couple more.
I'm ready.
Well, what about all the tenacity that all these people need to have when they're studying?
Well, I'm all for it. I'll give them a rah-rah.
What?
I don't know. Anyways, okay, keep going.
Anyway, rah-rah-rah-rah-rah.
Keep going.
All right, number nine. When operating an unmanned airplane, the remote pilot should consider that the load factor on the wings may be increased any time. A, the CG is shifted rearward to the aft CG limit. B, the airplane is subjected to maneuvers other than straight and level flight. Or C, the gross weight is reduced.
Looks like the answer is B.
The airplane is subjected to maneuvers other than straight and level flight.
Hmm. And there's a nice link to a video explaining this in more detail. Probably with an example. That's cool.
Oh, man. This next question. Although Ted Wilson did a good job of explaining why this is relevant to me, and I'll explain it to everyone else. By the way, Ted Wilson is the certified flight instructor that's going to be at the class in California.
Yep.
Also available via live stream.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be good. Okay.
Now I know why it only printed out these pages. Because of that. There's a next button.
Yeah, you got to go to the next page.
That. I can't stand that.
Well, it's okay.
It's a clickbait thing.
Yeah, it's okay.
A stall occurs when the smooth airflow over the unmanned airplane's wing is disrupted and the lift degenerates rapidly. This is caused when the wing A exceeds the maximum airspeed, B exceeds maximum allowable operating weight, or C exceeds its critical angle of attack.
Hmm. All right. Well, the answer is...
Before we say the answer, this is a perfect, perfect example of the difference between a standard manned aviation and what we're doing, because you are never going to hit this angle of attack, no matter how fast you try to go.
Yeah.
Ever. Because it is physically impossible, thanks to the flight controller.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe people that take this test will come to the realization that they actually want to be a pilot of... a helicopter pilot or an airplane pilot. I mean, as opposed to just UAVs. I'm trying to think of some grander benefit that's going to come out of taking this test with some of these questions. Certainly, you know, people are going to be more knowledgeable about airspace.
I want to get some really here. I think knowing airspace is really good.
But absolutely.
But I think everything else should be focused about passing this test. Should you know how to operate? Oh, yeah. Should you know how to file COAs? Oh, yeah. Should you know, you know, the standards to get a license? Oh, yeah. But here's the thing. The FAA has made this test difficult for you, very purposefully.
Sure.
And if you try to take the approach of learning to study everything and getting the answers out of that, no offense, you're going to fail. And I'm just saying that from experience.
Because there's too much information.
There's way too much information. There's 3,100 pages. It's never going to happen. What you need to do is you need to do the question and answer thing. This is a great start. This is why we're having this conversation today. This is a great start. There are 300 other FAA official questions. They will be on our site so that you can literally take the quiz anywhere you are, anytime.
They are not yet, by the way.
No, they're in process. Sorry. Got a little ahead of myself here.
That's okay. I just will start getting questions to support. Even, where are they?
Even Ted Wilson said, you know, Paul, when you came and got your private pilot certificate with me, there's a reason I told you to take the written exam before we went through ground school.
Right.
Because you need to learn how to answer these questions in the language of the test. You don't need to know the theory behind this stuff because they're not testing you on that. Mm-hmm. They're testing you on very specific things. So, you know, people may get mad at me for saying, well, Paul, why are you telling people to just focus on the questions and just learn the questions? A, I did not say that. I said learn airspace, learn operations, and how to get your certificate, and do the questions.
Right.
But I am saying focus and harp on the questions, but you should not negate those other things. Now, I will say this. I do think it is very, very, very valuable to know this stuff top and bottom. Here's why. When you are talking to a client about what you can do and what the other person can do, it's really easy to shut the competition down on simple vocabulary. No, I mean, I'm serious. Like if you're like, well, you know, I was on Taxiway Victor, you know, down by TRC NM, and we had, you know, a 14 mile an hour headwind, but takeoff wasn't bad because we were, you know, clearance of the MOA. Well, you know, people are going to be like, wow, that guy sounds like he knows what he's talking about.
Well, and that's a good point. Taking that even a little bit further, I think one of the things you can do with potential clients that you're competing against other people for is to ask them questions. Did the other folks that you're talking to talk to you about this? Mm-hmm. Did they ask you about this issue and whether or not that's covered? And so you could bring up issues where that potential client's going to say, wow, they didn't even ask me about that.
Yep.
That's a little disconcerting. So you're absolutely right in that sense.
There is significant value in knowing it, but I'm going to give you an honest, I've taken an FAA written exam before. Guys, study the questions. I mean, you know, there's a lot of other schools out there that are taught by guys who have their pilot certificate. And they haven't taken a test in a long time. I'm just saying, from someone who's taken it in the last year, learn the questions. Learn the questions. Learn the questions. Anyway, I think that's going to do it for us today. My mind is totally gone. Not to help that it's very early in the morning. Curtis Dart is already texting me, and it's time to move on.
You better get to breakfast.
Yeah, seriously. Breakfast
Guys,
meeting.
So obviously we took a little break from normal questions, but keep them coming. AskDroneU.com. Never forget, if you're thinking it, someone else is too.
And if you are ready to study for this test with certified flight instructors, make sure to check out DroneU Live. That's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
I'm Rob.
This is Ask DroneU.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.